The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on between now and one. We're open line today, so the floor's yours, whatever's on your mind. Hit the phone on 661368. Text or WhatsApp on 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. There are certainly questions for the Isle of Man's patient transfer service after that 15-year-old had to travel to Alderhay by boat after severely injuring his hand. The family say that Manx Care refused to provide an air ambulance for him, so he had to go on the boat. Well, obviously, that's a story we'll be looking at. Lots more as well. And I think Vivian's with... Sorry we couldn't fit you in yesterday, Vivian. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. What I want to talk about was Biles disease.
Right.
Because my father died of it, and therefore I know quite a bit about it. And at that time, there was no cure for it, really. That's going back a long time. But it's a death that nobody would want. It's a cruel death. And I feel sorry for these people on the boat that have got... It's a similar thing. But anyhow, it's just that I do have the experience of it, and it's horrible.
As you say now, it is treatable now, but still painful and lingering, isn't it?
Well, at the time, there was four of them had it. Two died and two survived. I knew them all, and but it's just a case of... I just go cold when I see an RAT, I'm afraid. I have so many memories of it that it was a wet winter and the farmer piled up wet grain outside our house, and that's where they were. And my father used to kill them either with a gun or with poison. And unfortunately, he got the urine into a cut on his hand.
And when was this, Vivian?
Oh, God. He was 65. Oh, God, this must be going back to... It's a long time ago.
Right, I mean, 80s, 70s?
Probably the 70s.
The 70s, right, OK.
Yeah, but there was four of them at the time. Two survived and two died.
OK, Vivian, It's a grim tale, and hopefully it's something that doesn't affect us in the future, although I did mention yesterday I had a pal, Steve, who got it and said it was basically a living hell. Well, he's over it now, but he would never have thought that it would strike him. He was a big butch guy and absolutely knocked the feet from underneath him.
That's it. I mean, so they were all farmers, the two that survived had this haunting look on their face, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And they were never 100% afterwards.
Okay.
The other thing I want to talk about, if I may.
Of course.
Is this situation with the horse trams. I thought we had a government that if something was proposed and seconded and passed by Timwald, it had to be seen to. Why then is Treasury refusing to do that?
Well, I mean, I don't speak for Treasury, but I think Treasury is the department whose job it is to say no to everything, Vivian, because they're the keepers of the purse. So they
might.
They don't want to spend money.
They've been noticed for too long.
Right. Okay. So as far as you're concerned, we should crack on with it.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I mean, say, the horse trams have been going longer than the ones that are in Treasury or anywhere else on this island.
Certainly, that's true. They're older than most things on the Isle of Man. All right, Vivian.
Nice.
Good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, 10 past 12. On, sadly, it was yesterday. Yeah, we were talking about DEFA's rodenticide policy yesterday, and the fact that farmers used to get it free, although not that expensive, but it is. It costs. Certainly, it costs a lot more than it used to. They don't anymore. So the control of vermin on the Isle of Man is now down to the agricultural industry and its managers and workers. And let's hope it's happening, because that's not something anybody wants to get, as you just heard from Vivian. Here's Peter with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, good afternoon. I just want to speak about the motion that was put forward by Chris Thomas, just part C of the motion on Tuesday to the House of Keys, that was replaced by one that was quite frankly meaningless. The meaningless one got through, and Chris Thomas's didn't. He called on the mover, Potsy, called on the mover of the private member's bill, that's the assisted dying bill, to bring a report covering the policy, delivery, financial implications and risk assessment of providing an assisted dying service in the island for debate in the House of Keys before the 2026 dissolution. Now, that was an eminently sensible motion, because after 13 months, the bill was sent back and it was obviously flawed, and therefore that would be a very sensible starting point, because as I pointed out, and no doubt will continue to point out, they do not know what the financial implications are of establishing this assisted dying service. And as you know, and as I know, that the Department of Health is constantly, their constant problem is that they're into overspend. And it does seem to be extraordinary that in a time when they can't make ends meet, that they would, that the Keys would place on them a duty to implement something which they don't know how much is going to cost yet, and without the Keys knowing it. But there you are, that's how they work. Now, that was replaced. It actually failed by 16 votes to 8. What did they replace it with? They replaced it with something that's already was going to happen. And it says, calls on the mover of this private member's bill to prepare a set of amendments, which he was going to do anyway, and an explanatory memorandum, which automatically comes with them, to be debated in Tynwald. Now, that was just absolute nothing, because the mover of the bill was already going to prepare a set of amendments. In fact, I think it was already a work in progress. And so that was a particularly meaningless, pointless amendment. And Chris Thomas's was spot on, because, I mean, what is the policy delivery, financial implications and risk assessment of this assisted suicide service going to be? Certainly, the financial implications, as I've already said, are unknown. So I think it's really a bit of a commentary of the spirit that seems to obtain in the House of Keys at the moment, and one that I think that the electorate ought to take note of, irrespective of what their view is about this particular piece of legislation, that they're quite happy to go forward with something which they don't know what it's going to cost.
Why do you think they did it?
I have not a clue as to why, and I think this is a question we'd have to ask each the people who really voted against Chris Thomas of what they were thinking about. That wouldn't be anybody in my constituency, because the other member of who represents myself wasn't actually present at the time. The only thing that I can think is that they seem to be determined to try and get this legislation through. And it is extremely unwise, because it has been with the Department of Justice, the Ministry of Justice, for 13 months. There's obviously something very significantly wrong with it. If you simply go ahead and just take through some amendments and it will be not an in-depth debate because they've got so much else to do. Quite frankly, they risk that the Ministry of Justice will send it back again because rushed legislation is nearly always bad legislation, and they seem to be in a great rush to get this through. And I think, well, to say it's unwise is putting it mildly.
And as you say, the fact that there's been no, what's the phrase they use now, granular detail, well, there's no granular detail of what's going to happen if this legislation goes through. And as you say, nobody's put their hand up and said, we'll do this. We don't know how much it's going to cost. We don't know the legalities around it. And obviously, the checks and balances will have to be enforced by somebody, Peter.
Well, I come back to what Chris Thomas, who I think is an excellent member of this constituency, he calls on the mover to bring a report covering the policy, the delivery, the financial implications and the risk assessment. Well, he's going a very considerable way there to be saying, what are we actually anticipating doing? And you don't go ahead without, or you shouldn't go ahead with something so significant as this without a very, very careful consideration. And I think all I can say is Chris Thomas has done the island an excellent service by bringing this up. It's just a great shame that the majority of the MHKs couldn't see that, and they seem to be determined to get this through. And I repeat, they will run the risk that the bill will get sent back. And it'll be no good complaining because they're only really the authors of their own misfortune.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Peter. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
And you, Andy. Bye-bye.
All right. 17 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Man in line. Friday lunchtime. We're open line till 1. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. It's just a continuation of what I caught on the tail end of your programme yesterday. Didn't I mention the County Donegal rail cars?
Yes.
Supposedly still down there. They were bought by the Isle of Man Railway 1960-61. So that's how long they've been on the island. Two of them. They were used for a short while on the Peel Line before that was ripped up, primarily because it's relatively flat. Now, they did say they had a little bit of a problem with some of the steeper rises going south. It has been up as far as Kirkmichael, but one of the nice things, if they're doing it up, for the rail enthusiasts to come over, even if it's not used on a regular basis, rather than just left somewhere in a garage or in a shed languishing. And it's been here over 60 years now. So that is, again, it's becoming part of the heritage here. And along with the tramways and various other aspects of it, it's just another point for people who are coming to the island for these niche holidays.
Yeah.
And I did hear that they'd been doing some work on it, but whether it's anywhere near complete or whether it's going to be completed, well, that's, again, down to the DOI.
Well, it would be nice to know, and as you say, Howard, these niche holidays and speciality holidays are part of what we do, and certainly for railway enthusiasts, we are an absolute mecca. We're a magnet from people all over the world because in a small island like ours, we've got so much rail heritage and so much functioning rail heritage as well. So, and for something like the, as you say, the blood and custard. That would just be another. In fact, this weekend, I think Groudle Glen have got a weekend where they're running their diesels up and down as well. And people come from all over Europe to see this stuff.
That's right. And I've been on the original ones. I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy now, but I was on the original ones when I was only a very young child. And I can remember them out at Groudle. So all these things are a very attractive focal point for people coming to the island. And these Donegal, it's a shame for them to be languishing in a shed somewhere. Even what they've got down in Port Erin is one of the old steam locomotives that has had a makeup. It's not functioning. It doesn't work at the moment. It can be, I suppose, in the future. But it's there, and it's attractive. And these could be painted up and given a facelift. And they'd have been there for photographic and people to say, yep, there they are, they're still there. And these apparently, when they were bought from County Donegal after it went down the pan, were the most modern, bearing in mind as they go back to the 1960s. But they're still there and they'll still function. But, you know, less the DOI again, don't drag your heels, get these things into sight and let people see them.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Are you on duty on Sunday?
Not this week, probably next week. Okay. I've had family, obviously, so I've had to avoid. Okay. But yes, with a bit of luck and the weather stays good, it should be open.
Okay, thanks for being with us today, Howard.
Take care, bye now.
All right, 21 minutes past 12. I'm, of course, referring to the Camera Obscura just below us on Douglas Head. That's going to be open Saturday and Sunday, tomorrow on and Sunday. A note in from Owen. Hello, Owen. Owen, who was just saying, you were talking the other day about the cabbage. Why didn't we buy a proper one? Apparently, we bought a second-hand one from somewhere in America that just disappeared as soon as they'd sold it to us. Who knows what was inside it, but obviously it didn't work properly. I think it was £750,000 we paid for it. For £250,000 more, we could have bought a new one, one that would probably still be working now. That's hindsight for you, Owen, isn't it? And thanks also to Terry, who just said, yes, I've seen those diesels at Crowdall Glen. Apparently, they're running they've got an electric one at Crowdall Glen. There's an electric train that they're running. They've always had them, apparently, but powered by lead acid batteries. The things you learn. Leptospirosis is the spread in the urine of infected animals, most commonly long tails, mice, cows, pigs, and dogs. You can get leptospirosis if soil or fresh water, such as water from a river or a lake that contains infected urine, gets in your mouth, eyes, or a cut, usually during activities like kayaking, outdoor swimming, or fishing. This is fresh water. Or if you touch an infected animal's blood or flesh, usually from working with animals or animal parts. So it's rare to get leptospirosis, Weil's disease, Weil's disease, whatever you want, from pets or other people or bites. But it is grotesque. It's a horrible, horrible condition and causes all sorts of problems. Bleeding from the lungs, it can cause meningitis, kidney failure. It's shocking. And bearing in mind what Brian was saying about the department's policy with rodenticide, with vermin treatment, we'll see. We'll see what happens. There are questions for the Isle of Man's patient transfer service after this 15-year-old lad had to travel to Alder Hey by boat after severely injuring his hand. He's called Jamie, and the family say that Manx Care refused to provide an air ambulance. Well, we asked Manx Care about the incident. Well, they wouldn't comment on individual cases, but insisted all decisions were made using professional judgment, supported by clinical guidelines and relevant assessment tools to ensure patients get safe and appropriate care. That's the official bit. However, that response has triggered the boy's family to speak out about his experience. This is his older brother, Gary.
He was walking home with one of his friends and he kicked his ball into the NSC athletics track and climbed over the fence, and the fence caught onto his hand and sliced it open quite badly. Got to the hospital and got brought straight through A&E and got examined by doctors from there. I couldn't fault the doctors up there, they're absolutely great with him. When they obviously seen the injury, they said that he needed to go across to Liverpool to Alder Hey Hospital because they didn't have the the correct equipment or the correct people to fix his hand. Then the doctor said he needed an air ambulance, and the air ambulance coordinator in front of all of us saying that he's not getting an air ambulance, basically. He doesn't need one.
And that was despite the clinician saying that he did?
Yes, so the doctor in there was saying that he needed an air ambulance over, but the coordinator and the travel management decided that he should get the boat over instead. So he got the Haitian boat, and my parents had to pay for a cabin for him because he would have been uncomfortable, he'd been in a lot of pain. The hospital also said that there would be some sort of medical assistance on board with him, and he had to actually take the whole boat and the taxi, which was about 2 hours, to Alderhay without any medical assistance. They were told there would be someone on the boat with them for pain management, and they also had to do the pain management themselves with painkillers, which A&E gave them for the boat, cocodamol. And Alderhay were, again, very angry because he shouldn't have been given cocodamol. So yeah, he got to Alderhay, and we were told at the hospital that they were already informed about the injury and that he was turning up. But when my parents did turn up, they had no idea he was turning up at all. So they didn't have the surgeon there to help him and the equipment. So that obviously caused a bigger delay, considering he had to get a boat over, then an extra 2 hour taxi on top of that. And they didn't even get to the hospital till about 2 a.m. And then obviously then you would expect for him to go straight into surgery, but they couldn't prepare themselves because the Isle of Man Hospital didn't inform they were coming.
What would you like Manx Care to do now?
Apologise. The statement that was I seen on Manx Radio was more of them trying to cover themselves, whereas I think an apology is deserved a lot more than that. We think it's inhumane the way he was treated.
That was Gary, the older brother of the boy Jamie, who had that accident. As Amy said, when we first heard the story, we asked Manx Care for the response, and I gave you that earlier on. Since speaking to Gary, we've again approached Manx Care specifically respond to the issues raised by the family, but we've yet to hear back. We've also asked Alderhay what their opinion is of all this. I've just come back from Liverpool, and on the return journey, walked from Albert Dock to the new Isle of Man ferry terminal. I honestly didn't see a single sign showing the route, says H. Since the old terminal closed, parts of the riverside seem blocked off quite often, so you can't just follow the waterfront directly anymore. You end up weaving through different paths and roads. But at key points, there's no indication you're heading in the right way. Goodness knows how visitors are supposed to find it, and certainly in TT, there's likely to be some confusion. Have you done that lately? Can you report back on that? And by the way, there was always a problem that sat-nav didn't work to the Liverpool half princess, half-tide dock. Is that the same now? While I feel sorry, says Frank, for this young lad with the injured hand, the urgent air ambulance is usually only mobilised for life-threatening conditions or conditions that could quickly become life-threatening. Brain, spine, heart cases, for example. Sounds like the doctors at the hospital perhaps need to be clearer on the permissions around air travel and stop telling people they'll definitely be airlifted off the Isle of Man when ultimately that decision is not made by the doctor alone. And text of 546 says, is it true that the parents of the 15-year-old offered to pay privately for the air medical transfer and were still refused? If that's true, the people responsible need to answer for it, because the whole thing has brought the service into disrepute. Further to Malcolm dropped a note in, further to Brian's call regarding long tails on the Isle of Man, I fully agree with everything he said, but he's only half told the story. DEFRA in their wisdom are now paying farmers not to harvest cereal crops and to leave them over winter until the end of February, supposedly to feed birds and wildlife. In reality, all they're doing is feeding vermin. I know of a farmer who joined the scheme for 1 year and his farm became overrun with long tails, and he said he'd never ever do it again. Well, if you're in the industry, I'd like to know, because this is something that anybody who lives in a town won't know. Bearing in mind the countryside is never that far away. What's the state of the population of long tails at the moment? On a lovely day, I just want to say a great job to the road crew who've been working on Summer Hill over the last few weeks. They seem to be hard at it every day, ensuring a very effective job on a busy, awkward junction. They hope they have a nice beer this evening for a job well done, says Peter. They've been resurfacing, I think, haven't they, there? Coincidence that Howard mentioned Donegal It's a shame they got rid of their railway line too. Like here, the countryside is amazing. Only a few weeks ago, I was outside the old station, which is at the end of their line. Pity we couldn't reinstall the old line here. Well, where there's a will, there's a way. And remember, if we're going to get billions from this offshore wind farm, we could put that back, couldn't we? I mean, there are a few things in the way, but civil engineering has come on leaps and bounds since then. So if we really want to be sustainable and go towards net zero, we could put an electric tram back between Douglas and Peel, branch off at St John's and go to Ramsey. I mean, if we're prepared to compromise our view from the east of the Isle of Man with huge wind turbines, what's a few compulsory purchases to put that back? And that would get lots of cars off the road. Because if we did have an electric tram running from Douglas to Peel and from St John's to Ramsey, that would take lots of cars, you know. And with all the money that we're going to get from the wind turbine, surely why don't make it free? If you've ever flown to London City, you'll know the Docklands Light Railway runs there. Absolutely nobody on it. It's run by robots. You just get on and it trolls away, takes you into to the central line. I mean, if we are going to get all this money, what do you think we should spend it with? The Mrs. C in Ramsey says the government can find money for the unwanted 20-mile-per-hour poles and signs and the seawall, which spoils the view, which is already falling apart, but not for the horse trams, which have been voted through twice. Is there an individual within Treasury who just doesn't want the trams? Well, this was mentioned the other day. We always get warm words. Have you noticed? All the politicians will say, oh, I believe in the heritage, oh, the Isle of Man tradition, the horse trams. We should get the horse trams back. Can we have them? Not yet. Not yet. Well, when can we have them? Soon. When? Well, there'll have to be a process. When? Get the picture? It's horror story after horror story regarding Manx Care, says Roy. I'm actually afraid of it now, just under £500 million a year for Manx Care, and it's honestly terrifying if you need to use it. Can we please have a review of this for all of our sakes? Well, thank you, Roy. I'm sure you're overstating it, because day after day after day, the professionals in Manx here do some great work and groundbreaking work as well. We've got some great new machines, great new scanners and what have you. It's just that, I mean, we are paying for it. It's not charity, let's face it. I find it surprising the Auditor General and the two Deputy Auditor General posts haven't been asked by Tynwald to look at the costs and control in respect of the two major national issues. Assisted dying and the wind farm, says Gaz. And Anne dropped a note into Man in Line to say, does the Treasury Minister have plans to raise the DLA rate, as it was only awarded at around 2.5%, while they're continuing to fund the old OAP's BBC licences, says Anne. Well, Sarah Maltby has been talking about the horse tram. She said it's unfair that the business case for the full reinstatement of the Douglas Bay horse tramway is seeing yet more delays. When can we have the horse trams? Soon. When? Well, soon. Back in March, the Department of Infrastructure was tasked with returning to Tynwald this month with plans for the full line. However, the document's been missed. Missed the deadline for inclusion on the order paper and subsequently won't appear on May's main order paper. Sarah Maltby, Douglas South MHK, says she's been told the work's progressing but hasn't been given any indication on where it is up to. She tabled two questions for next week's House of Keys sitting. Sarah Maltby.
I was really hoping that the ministers might be able to come forward with a briefing or some sort of members' presentation to let us know what was happening, but that hasn't happened. So I've tabled two questions instead in the hope that I might be able to get some answers. I brought a motion to Tynwald asking that the business case for the capital bid would come to Tynwald for members to be able to vote on it, yes or no. You know, this is not lobbying members. members to say you must vote for the reinstatement. It's about being transparent, seeing the business case and being able to make a decision one way on how this administration would like to see the progression of that project. The minister there, he amended that motion and said that he would bring it back as soon as possible, and it would likely be to May's Tynwald. The deadline for submission for the Register of Business has passed. There's been no communication, formally or informally. I've been told it's progressing, but we've been told it's progressing for a good number of months, possibly years now. And so I'm just trying to keep the pressure on to say we are waiting for these answers.
How does it make you feel knowing that you've done all of this work and now it's just weeks away and nothing?
Yeah. It's become a bit of a national issue. There's so many people across the island who are interested in getting a resolution to this situation, but also to fully understand what actually happened. The history of the de-scoping of this project is well reported, and this really is an opportunity for the DOI and Treasury to set the record straight, to be able to bring forward the case and just finally get a resolution on this. It's beyond frustrating. I do really feel like the government has missed an opportunity here to get that public confidence back.
Sarah Maltby, MHK, and in response, the DOI said it's been asked to review a recent proposal by the Treasury, and return with a revised business case. An update will be provided in due course. Do you agree with Sarah Maltby when she said this is actually now more than just about the trams? This is about the fact that you get the picture. This could be being blocked. Somebody somewhere just thinks this is a bad idea and doesn't want to do it. But either can't say it, won't say it, doesn't want to say it, or we're just continually getting kicked down the road. Surely the government, the money that they're going to waste on the horse trams could be spent getting Castle Russian High School up and running, says Andy. Has Manxcare become a proxy immigration officer bringing in foreign workers on good wages rather than looking after taxpayers, says Billy Boy. Oh, Billy, you're going to have to be a lot more specific than that. That's Friday lunchtime banter, isn't it? Patricia says, Andy, nearly 60 years ago, with regards to admission to a Liverpool hospital, nobles made the time and day with Liverpool to be at the UK hospital for admission. You then travelled by the first available boat and were admitted immediately on arrival. The problem appears these days to be communication, not the air ambulance.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine, Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man, 627-335.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
Looking for an exciting new experience on the Isle of Man? Then step into the brand new Soral Chocolate Making Workshop, where you become the chocolatier. Experience Soral's premium quality hands-on. Taste, design, melt and fill your own luxury chocolates. Then take them home the very same day. Perfect for friends, families, date nights or special occasions. But hurry, spaces are limited. So book now at soralchocolate.im. Soral Chocolate Workshop. Crafted with quality, made by you.
Big Red Storage in Tremode and Ronalds Way offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 640040.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Imagine you have just stepped into a cool swimming pool. It's a glorious hot afternoon.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
This place reminds you that life can be slower, and here, haste is not needed.
the latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A note in from G, who just said, the story about the young lad cutting his hand perhaps raises a wider question. And it's the question about Nobles Hospital's capability to deal with more than just cuts and grazes. We're in the run-up to TT week. Surely the hospital that can cope with TT traumas can mend with a hand that's been cut open. With regard to the halfway horse tram and the missing 750,000, well, it certainly wasn't spent on those raised pedestrian walkways that are now falling apart. Thank you, Paul in Mackled. And again, when is Douglas Council going to do something with the promenade walkway? Why are we waiting? Says this correspondent. A message in now just said, I'm surprised that one's just disappeared. Sorry about that. Regarding the 20 mile per hour speed limits, I think the setup around Q-Egg School and Braddon School works very well, says Pete. Those are the flashing lights, aren't they? They seem to be putting up lots of poles absolutely everywhere, aren't they? If they were going to put the grass verge that one's disappeared. And no, we'll get to some more messages in just a few moments' time. I can't believe people are up in arms about the poverty report, saying children on free school meals consistently do less well than their peers. What is the Department of Education doing about it, says James? It's a disgrace. The MHKs are rightly trying to progress the assisted dying bill because the Isle of Man elected parliament voted in favour of it. That is how democracy works, says Steve. If our MHKs voted in favour of some pro-religious legislation and decided not to bother with it, would people complain about it then? What do you think, Steve? You pose the question. What do you say? I'm nearly 70. Says this WhatsApper, I get my pension, but I also pay a private works pension. Get a private works pension of £600 per month, which I pay £130 per month tax on. Imagine the private healthcare I could get for £140 a month. I can't get a dentist or a doctor's appointment or have to wait years for an operation, says this WhatsApper. I wonder if any of the current MHKs are going to stand down and get a job in the wind farm industry, says this correspondent. We don't know. These are questions that just blow away in the wind. Is that rhetorical, or do you know something about it? If you put it to a public vote, the vast majority of people would choose improving the roads over the horse tram extension, says Rob. That's it. That will be applicable if everything was in one central pot. But it's not. And the fact that the horse trams have been approved, wanted, and not funded yet. What do you think about it, Rob? Do you think we should just forget the horse trams, that all that heritage that's gone into the horse trams, and just say, well, the politicians consistently don't want to do it, don't want to find the money to it, they're right, we'll forget all about it? What do you think? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. The Donegal cars, says John, were running in 1995 when Michael Portillo said he was last on the Isle of Man. Nowhere are there so many tramways, railways, mountain railway and smaller railways, old funiculars, non-working incline railways within a short distance, says John. Well, obviously the funiculars and the incline railways don't work, but that's another thing. I wonder if there are any plans for the funiculars and the non-working railway inclines. Well, this assisted dying bill has got everybody exercised, really. The Chief Minister thinks the bill will fail the people of the Isle of Man. Alfred Cannon said that using regulations and orders to get it onto the statute book would lead to serious challenges in future. In Keys this week, the Ramsey MHK Alex Allenson gained support for the proposed amendments to it, designed to address the UK Ministry of Justice's concerns after it failed to grant royal assent. Here's the Chief Minister.
The House of Keys has been given warning after warning after warning that this legislation is carrying huge risks, that it is deficient, that it is in fact actually unworkable, and that matters that the mover and many other members have decided to try and deal with by regulations and by order will in fact present significant hurdles and challenges in the future. My view at the moment is that warning shots have been fired by the Ministry of Justice. This is not a constitutional crisis between the UK and the Isle of Man. This is now potentially a constitutional crisis on the Isle of Man about our capability as a House of Keys, as a Legislative Council, as a Timbrel, to deal with these serious matters. And honourable members are going to have to make up their mind whether the warnings that continue to be given to them, both in the evidence that's been given by other members of the House of Keys, are in fact real. And really now it's down to the 16 members who are supporting this, and I accept there is a democratic will for assisted dying to be brought in, but those honourable members, the 16 members, are going to have to give real thought as to what they're actually voting for, and whether or not in voting to bring through a bill which in my view is deficient will in fact fail the people of the island in the future.
People listening will think, why wasn't this sorted out before it got to this stage?
Well, look, it's going through a democratic process, I accept that.
Monitoring, safeguarding capacity, these are things...
Well, look, the evidence was given, you know, an eminent professor came and gave evidence to the House of Keys. He very much raised all these issues, and the Keys democratically chose to ignore it. But of course, you can't just act in isolation. You have to consider your bigger responsibilities and your bigger commitments, particularly when it comes to things like the European Convention on Human Rights. So there's a huge amount to consider. It's detailed, it's complex.
There he is, Chief Minister. And by the way, Alfred Cannon's going to be on Man in Line on Monday the 11th. The Chief Minister will be taking your calls and questions. If you want to get in touch on Monday or beforehand, call the answer phone on 682 631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. But there we are. It just seems to go. It seems to kind of typify, doesn't it, what's happened over this administration. We had all the kerfuffle over the 20 mile per hour limit. It's like the okie cokie, in, out, shake it all about. Then we had the bishop's vote, and then the assisted dying bill. All that time, all that money. The horse trams will never go to the steam packet. Says James, having them on that verge, besides a public footpath and parking, is a health and safety issue and would never have passed. It's about time the Isle of Man government admitted it. It's failed safety clearance, says James. I think they've looked at that, James, to be quite honest. I'm told by the people who know about these things, there's more than enough space. I know it doesn't look like there is, but apparently there is, because actually the horse trams aren't that wide. The money, the Peel, there we are, in Peel yesterday, the whole stretch of sand along the beach was absolutely stunning, spotlessly clean, and the railings were being sandblasted prior to being repainted. Wonderful. Douglas, on the other hand, well, says Mrs. C. Are these electric buses? Yes, we've been told that we may be getting electric buses, a fleet of electric buses that won't fit into Lake Road. But anyway, Faith said, are these electric buses safe for passengers with pacemakers? Just a thought. We looked at it, Faith. Yes, electric buses are generally considered safe for people with pacemakers. Modern pacemakers are designed and tested to work safely around normal electrical environments, including public transport systems. Electric buses do create electromagnetic fields, but there's no NHS or UK health guidance advising people with pacemakers to avoid travelling on them. Operators and manufacturers must also meet electromagnetic safety standards to prevent interference with medical devices. I wonder how that goes for the mountain railway or the electric railway. Is that the same?
Fáumach tulia machion an genia airlin ek cum da henia. Tashbinus no ek tai tashdi vanan. Te ginu ard aelia te blain na gilga. Nan gultur as na tradisiun an yindasach gen elianine. Explore the beauty of Manx Gaelic at Mind Your Language, a new exhibition at the Manx Museum celebrating the Year of the Manx Language, our culture and the living traditions of our wonderful island.
E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Road racing returns to the island, and Manx Radio Motorsport is an essential part of it. As the official TT Broadcast Media partner, our live coverage brings every qualifying and race session to the island and the world on air and online. So with airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options, it's officially your best chance to reach a global motorsports audience. Contact our sales team now on 682 620 or at sales@manxradio.com. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world.
In 1930, we were promised a future where we'd work just 15 hours a week. Nearly a century later, we're working more than ever. And now, artificial intelligence is here to make us even more efficient.
So, why aren't we working less?
Is AI setting us free or trapping us in an endless cycle of more? AI, work and the 15-hour week, Tuesday from 6:30, only on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 9 minutes before one, Friday lunchtime. Looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. Last time I was on a shed tour, says Paul, at the Steam Railway, I was told the rail cars are being restored by a dedicated group of volunteers. These are the County Donegal ones, the blood and custard ones. They can only give so much time, so it's going to be a while, but they are determined to see them running again. Well, that's great news. Mike said, fast am I, Andy. It seems that the MHKs have voted for a sentiment rather than the law as it's been written. This is about the sister dying, I'm assuming. If nobody even knows how much it's going to cost or how it will happen in practice. You would have thought they'd thought that through, wouldn't you? You would have, surely. G says, Andy, I think the MHKs and government are making the same mistake as Labour government in the UK, and look what's happening to them there. At the end of the day, it's us, the people, who put them in power and pay their wages, yet they waste money and make bad decisions constantly. Time for a change, I'd say, says G. Yeah, I take your point. However, we don't have party politics, so you can't really vote a party out. We've only got one couple of MHKs that are in a party. Well, three. Laurie Hooper's on his own in Liberal Vanin, and you've got Joni Farragher and Sarah Maltby in the Manx Labour Party. But I'll take your point. Brian, I had two heart attacks in April 2024 and was flown to Liverpool by Manx Jet, then onwards to the Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital, where I underwent 6 hours of open heart surgery. The medics were assured me post-op that I had to return to the Isle of Man 5 days later by air ambulance. 30 minutes before the taxi arrived to take me to John Lennon Airport, I was told I'd be on the Loganair flight. I was in pain, a lot of it, but had to sit on the aircraft, which was also delayed departing. Then I had to wait at Ronaldsway for all the passengers to disembark before a wheelchair could take me down the ramp in pouring rain. I was told the decision not to use the air ambulance was due to cost and was taken by Manx Care. That's Brian's story. Manx Care must be counting every single bed and trolley space in Nobles Hospital, says D, including ED trolleys, the renal unit, children's ward, maternity unit, oncology and theatre recovery spaces to reach their total bed figures. Once you deduct 17 children's beds and 17 maternity beds along with trolley spaces in ED and elsewhere, you're actually left with only 141 adult inpatient beds at present. Medical wards have been repurposed. The hospital has been reduced from 521-bed medical wards when it opened in 2003, a total of 101 medical inpatient beds, now having 72 medical admission beds across wards 1, 4, 6 and 9. The new ED clinical decisions unit on ward 2 will also reduce what was previously a 20-bed surgical ward down to 12 beds, meaning another 8 beds lost. D said, I think Manx Care are hoodwinking the Manx people with their figures. Well, we're assuming that those figures are correct. And thank you for sending those in. I watched a programme, says Gary, that said that electric cars and buses are 100 times worse than sleeping with your mobile phone under the pillow, so I won't be getting on one. That's fine, but what about the electric railways that we've got? Everybody happily leaps on board the electric railways. The crumbling pink concrete on the prom should be ripped up and the tramway put back with inbuilt future-proof electric systems for electric trams. I understand they were thinking of those at one point. M said, a worrying thought, my pacemaker's over 10 years old. Think I'll go back to the car. Thank you for that. I mentioned that the Chief Minister is in on Monday, and whenever we get someone like the Chief Minister in, a lot of people try and call on the day. You can guarantee we'll get a jammed switchboard. So if you want to get in touch beforehand, easy as pie, call the answer phone on 682 631. 682 631. Or email maninline@manxradio.com. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for yesterday's podcast, our podcast provider was having a few difficulties yesterday. I think he dropped his soldering iron. So all should be with you fairly shortly. And in the meantime, I'll handle this one, not on Monday, but on Tuesday. A note in from Tim, who just said, who owns Isle of Man newspapers these days? It used to be the Tyndall Group, but I understand the Tyndall Group has been sold. Yes, I think Ray Tyndall, the owner, died. And the Tyndall Newspapers Group has been so. Anyway, I'll research that and find out for you on Tuesday. Thank you, Tim. Thanks to Chris on the phones, and have a fantastic weekend.
WIN